Well, Easter was last week, but unfortunately we soon forget about the Easter celebrations. I wonder maybe whether you've finished all your chocolate eggs or whether they're mounted up on the side. Sometimes children seem to get an awful lot of chocolate at Easter. And of course in our reading that we've just had, it is all about Easter, because it is what happened after the first resurrection appearance. So let's just ask God to open his word to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you it is a living word. So open our hearts that we may receive all that you want to teach to us today. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I hope you've got your Bibles open, please, at page 119. We're going to look at this passage from John's Gospel together. Because it's very easy to look at this passage and think, oh, this is just all about Thomas, doubting Thomas. But actually, there's so much more in this passage. And what we believe and who we believe should affect, well, does affect our behaviour and our actions. So we need to look at this a little bit more closely. So it is about Thomas, but it's much more about Jesus. This is, of course, one of his early resurrection appearances, that he appeared to different groups of people over a period of 40 days. And I want us to have a look what actually Jesus did on this occasion, because he did mainly four things. He appeared, he showed, he spoke, and he gave. So first of all, he appeared. He appeared in a room, even though the door was locked. And we see that in verse 19 and again in verse 16. The first day of the week, the disciples had locked the door. And in verse 26, although the doors were shut. And Jesus came and stood amongst them. And this gives us a glimpse of the resurrection body. It's the same but different. There's no physical restrictions for Jesus like he had when he was in a human body. He can now appear, it seems, anywhere at any time. And he showed us, he then goes on to show them the marks of his crucifixion. In verse 20, he showed them his hands and his side. So there were similarities. He could show them where he was crucified, where the nails had been in his hands, and where the sword had been in his side. And this verifies that it really is Jesus, the one who was crucified, who was dead, who was buried, but is alive again. It's a literal and physical resurrection. So what does this mean for us, for you and me? Well, it gives us hope and encouragement. It tells us that for us, death is not the end. We do have eternal life. It should be an encouragement to those of us who have got failing health, or we've got a loved one who is going to die very soon. Many years ago, there was, I forgot what it was called now, but there was an evangelistic program. And in that program, you used to ask people the question, do you know where you're going if you die tomorrow? Tonight, I think it was. And you know, very often we don't like to think about death, but it is part of life on earth. There is death. But for those of us who trust in Jesus, we have Jesus, who is the first resurrection from the dead, in the sense that he didn't die again. Of course, we've got Lazarus, but he died a natural death again later. And we say, don't we? We believe in the resurrection of the dead. We declare it in the words of the creed. But do we believe it in our hearts? Because when I conduct a funeral service, it's great when I know that the person who has died is a believer and trusted in Jesus. It makes all the difference, because they know where they're going, and it's a celebration of life and a celebration of transition to be in heaven. When we lived in Thailand and we were on the mission field, we knew a couple, Alan and Maylin, and they had number of children, I think it was four, and one of the boys one day was climbing on a roof like young lads do, and he fell through and he died. And talking to Alan and Maylin, they said, this is a little while later, they said, it's made heaven more real for us. So they had lost a child in this accident in Thailand, away from England. But they said, do you know, we think of him every day, our little boy, but it means that heaven is so much closer for us, because heaven is real, because one of our family are there already. Such hope, such encouragement. I wonder if I could do the same. I wonder if you could do the same. Because as Christians, we have this wonderful hope that this is not the end. And when our bodies wear out as they do, and we get aches and pains and everything else, we know that we're going to have glorious new bodies like Jesus himself. And then, of course, we see that Jesus spoke, and he still speaks today. And after all that had happened, it said that the disciples were afraid because of the Jews. But I wonder if they were afraid too, because they had let Jesus down. They'd fallen asleep. They'd fled. They denied him. And suddenly, Jesus is there with them in the locked room. I think the fear then would have been, what is it? What is he going to say to us? And yet if we look, what do we see that he first says to them? Peace be with you. You see, Jesus can bring calmness and order into every fearful and chaotic situation. Let me say that again. Jesus can bring peace into every fearful and chaotic situation. And you know, at times in our lives, we all go through that, don't we? We go through times when we are afraid, when our lives just seem to be messed up, and we don't know quite what's going to happen. And after Jesus shows them the marks of the nails in his hands, he again says to them, peace be with you. As if to emphasize, it's okay. I'm with you. I can give you peace that the world can never give. And this is what Jesus says to you and me today. Whatever our situation, he can bring peace into it and into our hearts. I don't know what your personal situation is. Maybe you are worried about your health. Maybe you're worried about your future. Maybe you've got relationship problems or problems at work. Whatever your situation, Jesus says, peace be with you. I'm with you. That is sufficient. I wonder whether we sit in Jesus' presence, whether we stand in Jesus' presence enough to receive that peace from him. You see, Jesus came into this locked room, right into the presence of the disciples. They couldn't escape. Jesus was there with them. And so often we don't do that, do we? We don't lock ourselves away in a room and have time to pray and to read God's word. But if we did, and if we do, we will experience God's peace. That peace that passes understanding, the peace that comes in your heart when everything seems to be chaotic and going awry. Will you do that? Will you spend time in God's presence to really experience his peace that only he can give, and to listen to him as he speaks to you? Because he says to you this morning, peace I give you. And then the next thing that we have is that Jesus identifies himself with the Father, God the Father. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. And he gives his followers work to do. It's as if he says, yes, there is resurrection. Yes, there is eternal life. But right now, there's work to do on earth. The saying goes, doesn't it? Don't be so heavenly minded that you're of no earthly use. Jesus says, I give you authority to go and tell the good news of God's love to all, just as Jesus himself did. And so too, Jesus says that to you and me. Because he has gone to heaven, he says, you, my followers, you must carry on the mission that I began. I send you, just as the Father sent me, to say in word and deed that the good news of God's love is here, of God's forgiveness, of God's kingdom coming about. So we see the words of Jesus, comforting, strengthening, encouraging, but also commanding them to go out. And the fourth thing, of course, he gave. He gave his Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. Verse 22. When he had said this, immediately after he said, so I send you, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This is an echo of what we have in Genesis 2, where God breathed into Adam and he became a living being. This is a foretaste of Pentecost. You see, when God asks us to do something, he always enables us to do it. So there's no excuses. No excuses. We can't do it without the person of the Holy Spirit enabling us. But God has given to each one who follows him the person of the Holy Spirit enabling us. So Jesus speaks, he appears, he shows himself the marks of the crucifixion, and he gives power. So then, what are the responses of his followers? Well, in verse 20, when Jesus had said this and he showed them his hands and his side, it says the disciples rejoiced. They rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And verse 25, they went out and told others too. In verse 25, the other disciples went out and told. So they were overjoyed with the news that Jesus is alive. And so they went to tell others. I wonder if that is my experience every day. That I'm so full of the joy that Jesus is alive that I'm ready to tell and share the good news. It's challenging, isn't it? Sometimes we don't always feel the joy of the Lord in our hearts. But you know, the fact that Jesus is alive should always give us joy and always a reason to share that good news with others. And then, of course, we have Thomas. So when they told Thomas, who wasn't with them, well, why wasn't he with them? We don't know. We're not told. What had he done? Had he gone to do his own thing? Why wasn't he with the others? Well, we don't know. But you notice his strong words when he's told in verse 25, I will not believe. Wow. I'm not sure about what you're telling me, guys. I will not believe. Very strong words. And we hear them today, don't we? People who make excuses of why they can't believe, but actually, deep in their hearts, they're saying, I will not believe whatever you say to me. And even Thomas said this. Why did he react like this? Well, again, we don't really know. We can only suppose. Was he stubborn? Was he annoyed because he had missed out? Was he too proud? And well, I'm not going to believe unless I see it for myself. Or was he genuinely doubting? We're not sure. But I do know this, that we too can be stubborn. We can be annoyed, even in spiritual matters. We can be proud. oh, well, you know, I've not seen that. I don't understand that. We can hide behind our doubts for years, putting off the moment when we should actually be making a step of faith. We've all got questions. I don't believe, no matter how many years you've been a Christian, you'll always have questions that you want to ask when you get to heaven. But if we know Jesus, as I do, and if you know Jesus too, there are things that are difficult, things that I don't quite understand when I read his word. But you know what? I know Jesus. And so I can give him the benefit of any doubts that I have. Because I trust him. And I trust him completely. Because I know that he is good. And all the time he is good. Of course, doubts are not always a bad thing. They can lead to questions and answers about what we believe. But if doubts are from a stubborn heart, they will lead to unbelief and they are unhelpful. And silent doubt rarely finds any answers. That's why we encourage you to come along to a home group or an alpha group where you can question and think about it for yourselves. Well, we're not sure about Thomas, but we do know that God knew Thomas's heart. And I find it interesting to note, look at verse 26. A week later. So Jesus didn't hurry and say, oh, right, I better show myself to Thomas right away. I think it's interesting that he has to wait a week before he sees the Jesus risen from the dead. You see, I think Thomas here is having time to reflect on his rash comment that he made. I will not believe. Surely after that moment, he must have been thinking, well, wait a minute. These are my friends, these disciples. I know them well. I've lived with them. I've eaten with them. I've slept with them for 3 years. Surely they can't be lying to me. Did he think about what Jesus had said during this week? I don't know, but maybe God was giving him time to think. But the good thing is that Jesus knew Thomas completely. Jesus knew what Thomas had said when Thomas said he wanted to put his fingers and hands in his side and in the nail marks. So when Jesus appears to him, in verse 26, Jesus came and stood among them. Verse 27, he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. The compassion of Jesus here. And Jesus is humble. Thomas is humbled and declares, Jesus, you are indeed risen. You are my Lord and my God. Jesus knew Thomas's heart and he knows our hearts too. And Jesus speaks to us as individuals, just as Jesus spoke to Thomas as an individual. He knew what he said and he answered his question. And Thomas humbled himself and said, my Lord and my God. He believed completely. It's interesting that Thomas wanted the physical presence of Jesus, but God in his greater wisdom knows best. That's why after the resurrection appearances that lasted for 40 days, God ascended to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us, so that through the Holy Spirit, God is with you today here, but is with friends of ours in Thailand and so on around the world. The Bible, we read, didn't we, that in this reading, in verse 31, John says, I wrote these so that you may believe. That you may believe that Jesus is Lord and God, is the Messiah. And as you believe, that you will have life in his name. I think we benefit so much from being alive today rather than at the time of Jesus. I think it's easier for us to believe now because we have God's word written down for us. We have God's Holy Spirit speaking in our hearts to us. And maybe we have still got some doubts, but we need to bring those to Jesus. We have the testimony of John, who wrote the Gospel of John, and others. But we have the testimony, too, of the church. So as Jesus said to Thomas, stop doubting, but believe. Because belief in Jesus is the way to have life to the full. Live life to the full, but do it in Jesus' name. Jesus appeared, he showed, he spoke, and he gave. And we can hear Jesus speaking to us. And we can see him as we read the scriptures. And the Holy Spirit is here for each one of us who follow him to enable us to live for Jesus and with Jesus. Let's do that, because that's what this passage is about. Jesus, the risen one, showing himself to his followers. And Jesus does that today to all those who seek him. Yes, if we've got genuine doubts, God will answer those for us. But let them lead to faith and trust in him. Let's live for Jesus, the risen one, and share that good news with others too. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, live each day for Jesus to please him. And as it says in the Old Testament in Zephaniah, let's do it not by might, not by power, but by God's Spirit. Amen.